You know, worship to me is like a cold drink of water on a hot, thirsty day. Just enjoying the presence of the Lord. See if I can get my tablet to cooperate with me there. There we go. If you've come to or prepared to give tithe and offering, I just want to pray over your finances. Pray over that. There's some giving boxes in the back. I think we have a slide, perhaps, where there's some digital ways to give. But let's just pray and continue to ask God to help us in our finances. How many need a job? Anybody need a job in here? Has everybody got it? I got several hands. Several people need a job. How many need a little bit more money coming in than you got right now? Quite a few more hands went up there. Hallelujah. Well, God knows how to deal with all that. So, Father, we just thank you that you are the Lord, our provider. Our eyes are continually upon you to be the source of all that we need. Give us this day our daily bread. Jesus, you taught us to bring our financial needs to you, our material needs to you. And, Lord, you promised to meet those needs according to your riches and glory. Those that need a job, Father, we just pray that you would quickly open up the door of opportunity for that. Those that need more pay, Lord, give them a better job or just a promotion or an increase, a pay raise. And Lord, just pour out your financial blessing upon your people. Help us to be good stewards. More than anything, Lord, help us to be generous. Give us generous hearts, Lord. We are constantly willing to give to you as you lead us. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we had a couple good messages the last couple of weeks. Pastor Brett had a message on corporate prayer, just the power of praying together. And then Elizabeth last week talked about we need to keep our oil full, right? We don't want to run out of oil waiting for Jesus to return, or maybe just during those seasons where you're waiting for God to show up and do what you've been praying for. We just need to stay full of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And as Bobby mentioned, we're right in the middle of a 14-day fast. And one of the reasons that we fast is that we can tune out all the distractions that normally clutter our minds and just better hear God speak to us, better hear the Holy Spirit. And I want to talk to us a bit today about hearing God's voice. Every one of us would benefit from hearing God more clearly. Would you agree with me? That you think your lives would be better somehow if you could more clearly hear the voice of God? How many know God knows everything that we need to know, right? He's got all the wisdom we need. He knows how to fix every problem that you are in, right? And he's ready to share his knowledge and his wisdom to anyone who will listen to him, tune into his voice. The question a lot of Christians have is, how do I know that I'm hearing God? Let's say, you know, you have a decision to make and you're wanting to do God's will. You want to walk in the will of God. And so you pray about that. And how do I know that I'm actually hearing God? These thoughts that are coming to my mind, how do I discern between just my thoughts or, you know, the enemy or anything else? That's a good question. Do you ever find it difficult to discern the voice of God? As you pray, maybe a thought will enter your mind. You know, is that God or is that just me? Is that the Holy Spirit, or is that the pizza I ate last night, or is that just my emotions? Again, is that just what I want, and I'm just thinking that's the Holy Spirit? Well, wouldn't it be amazing if you could ask God, if you need to hear the voice of God, if you could ask God, and you could clearly hear His voice about that need or about that situation? You know, there was a situation in the Old Testament where God appeared and spoke to a king in the Old Testament in the form of a hand. It looked like a human hand writing on the wall. And he wrote a message on the wall, and that king could clearly understand what God was saying to him. Now, I've never seen writing on the wall. I don't know about you. I doubt if we're going to hear writing on the wall, but wouldn't that be amazing, right? You know, you're just praying, God, should I marry this person? Yes. Or maybe the answer is, run as fast as you can. Like I said, we're probably not going to hear writing on the wall, but the good news is Jesus has promised us that He will speak to us and that we can hear His voice. John 10 is a very well-known passage when it comes to God's people hearing His voice. Jesus is talking about shepherds and sheep, and we all know that Jesus is the good shepherd and we are His sheep. And I don't know if that's a compliment or not. I don't think it is. Sheep, I think, are some of the dumbest animals on the planet, actually. And they need a shepherd or they're going to get messed up, right? And we need a shepherd too. And Jesus said the sheep listen to His voice. He calls out His own by name and leads them out. And when He has brought out all of His own, He goes on ahead of them and His sheep follow Him. Why? Because they know His voice. Why do they follow Him? Because they know His voice. They're never going to follow a stranger. In fact, they're going to run away from a stranger because they don't recognize the stranger's voice. They recognize the shepherd's voice. They're going to follow him. But the stranger, no, they're going to run away. That's not my shepherd. And listen, if you put your faith in Jesus, guess what? Jesus is your shepherd. He's your good shepherd. You are a sheep. You're part of His flock. And He's promised that you are going to be able to hear His voice, recognize His voice, and hopefully follow Him. John 10, 27, just a little bit later in that chapter, Jesus again says, "My sheep listen to My voice. I know them, and they follow Me." My sheep listen to My voice. I know them, and they follow Me. You know, unfortunately, there's been some churches that have taught that God no longer speaks to people today, that everything that God is ever going to say, He's already put in the Word of God, and that's all that we have. Now, I do believe that most, if not, I don't know, maybe 80%, I've always just thrown that figure out, I don't know if that's accurate or not, but probably most of what we need to know as we walk through this journey with Christ is in the Word of God. There's a lot of folks that, you know, they come, they ask, I need to know God's will. What if you just read your Bible? You could understand what God's will because He clearly says what that is in so many different situations. But there are other situations. Let's say you're wanting to get married and you're wondering if this is the right person, or you're thinking about a career and you're wanting to know if this career is the direction that God has for you. You're not going to find chapter or verse on that, right? You need to hear from God. Yeah. And Jesus promised that in those situations, we can hear the voice of our shepherd. Now, listen, Jesus said that He's going to lead His sheep and that His sheep are going to follow Him. One of the major differences between the Middle East, where the Bible is written, and the West, where we live, is the way that shepherds tend their sheep and move their sheep from one location to another location. And in the West, typically, livestock is driven from behind. You ever seen that? I mean, shepherds, there's not a whole lot. We used to have tons. We just went out to the Discovery Center, and there used to be thousands of sheep in Wasco County. Isn't that amazing? Don't have that anymore. But if you were to watch a shepherd in the West move their sheep from one location to another, they would drive that sheep. A lot of times they use dogs, and they move it that way. Or they just walk behind them and shoo them on in the direction that they need to go. Cattle is the same way. One time Bobby and I went on a cattle drive many years ago, and it was probably one of the most miserable experiences I've ever had in my life, actually. Maybe the first half was okay, but Chuck Petroff, the rancher, he didn't tell us we were going to be in the saddle 12 to 14 hours. And I wasn't used to that. My butt was so sore the next day, I couldn't even hardly walk. And, you know, it was a 100-degree day that day, and Bobby and I took water, but her sister came with us, and she didn't take any water. So we shared with her, and by noon we ran out of water. And it's just, you know, we're out in eastern Oregon on the banks of the John Day River, and it was hot and dry, and we're just going down in these canyons and finding these cattle and trying to drive them to another pasture somewhere. And I mean, driving cattle is like herding cats. They don't want to go. They just don't want to go. And so you're moving along, and one will peel off this way, and you got to ride over there and get that one. And then one will peel off this way, and you got to ride over there and get that one. And, you know, I'm telling you what, though. At the end of that day, I was so thirsty. I totally understand. Everybody criticizes Esau because he sold his birthright for, you know, a bowl of lentils or something like that. I would have sold my birthright if I would have had one for one glass of water. My house, you can have my wife, my kids, I don't care. Just give me one glass of water. I was so, so thirsty. But in the East, shepherds, they don't drive their sheep the way they do in the West. They lead their sheep. They call their sheep, and the sheep hear their voice, and they follow them. It is not uncommon for several shepherds in the East, Middle East, to gather all of their sheep at maybe a watering hole, or at night. It's not uncommon for them to put all of the sheep in a common pen for protection against, you know, wild animals, predators. And you wonder how on earth, there's maybe hundreds of sheep there and several different shepherds and several different flocks, and you wonder how on earth, when it's time for them to go, they're going to be able to discern their sheep. They all look the same to me. They all go, bah, you know, they all sound the same. In fact, let me hear your best sheep voice. Can I hear your best? You are good sheep. You are good sheep. Hallelujah. But you know, when it's time in the morning, it's time for the shepherd to lead his sheep out, he just simply calls them out, they recognize his voice, and they follow him. All the other sheep from the other flocks, they stay there, but they follow, you know, his sheep follow him. And there's a picture right there of a shepherd in the Middle East leading his sheep. Do we have that video? You may not believe me about this, but I got a video I want to show you, just to prove to you that sheep in the Middle East are actually led.
One more time.
Oh, one. Jesus said that he's going to call out his own sheep. They're going to recognize his voice. And one of the things I noted as I went through this passage is that he calls them by name. He calls them by name. That means Jesus is going to speak to you personally. You don't have to go to a priest or a pastor to hear the voice of God, right? Jesus is not just speaking to the masses. He knows you personally. He knows what you're going through. He knows your name. He knows where you live. He knows exactly what you need. He knows how to lead you to the abundant life that you so desperately want and he wants for you. He's going to speak personally to you. Now listen, it's not always easy to hear the voice of God. It can get a little complicated sometimes, right? All the other voices that are coming at us. I know there's been times in my life when I felt desperate to hear God's voice about a decision or need, and yet I struggled to really discern
what God was saying in that situation. Is God, is that you? Is that your voice? So how do we hear the voice of the shepherd? Well, today I want to give you four steps. Four just very simple steps on how to hear the voice of God. Number one, ask God to speak to you. I know that seems simple, but that really is the starting place. Ask God to speak to you. If you have a decision to make or you just need to hear God, don't just think about that yourself. Don't just try to figure that out. Don't just try to lean on your own understanding. Pray about that. Ask God to speak to you. Ask God to guide you. One of my favorite scriptures when it comes to God's guidance is Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, your own intellect, your own reasoning. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. And I like the Message version of this. Do we have that up there? Yeah. It says, trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Aren't we tempted to try to figure everything out on our own? Come on. Don't give me that religious look that you pray about everything. You know, you're just praying all through the day. Maybe you do. That's good if you do. But a lot of times we just lean on our own understanding. Well, I can figure that out. God's gave me a brain and I really don't need any outside input on that. But no, we need to pray about everything. Sometimes instead of prayer being our first choice, it's our last resort. It's the very last thing. Finally, when everything else has failed and all of our best efforts, you know, have fallen short, then maybe we'll pray. Scripture goes on to say, listen for God's voice in everything that you do. Listen for God's voice in everything that you do. Everywhere you go. Bobby tells me that, you know, God speaks to her in a lot of different ways, a lot of different times. A lot of times at the grocery store, she'll be shopping, getting ready to go, wrapping it up, and God will remind her, oh, you need to pick this item up for the dinner that you're preparing tonight, something she totally forgot, and she knows it's the Holy Spirit. Does God speak to us in practical ways like that? I believe He does. I believe God's speaking to us all the time, probably much more than we realize, but many times we are just simply not discerning the voice of the Holy Spirit. Scripture goes on to say, He's the one who will keep you on track. Don't assume that you know it all. I don't know about you, but I need someone to keep me on track. I know me. I can relate to that old hymn writer that wrote those words of the great hymn. Can't remember the title of it, but prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. I'm prone to get off track. I know me. And so I need God. I need the Holy Spirit. And of course the scriptures and all of you to help me keep on track. Amen? Without the constant guidance of the Holy Spirit, it's easy to make detours. It's easy to get on dead-end roads. I've been on a few of those. I don't have enough time left in my life to get on too many more dead-end roads and detours that lead nowhere. I need to hear God keeping me on the straight and narrow. Amen? Am I preaching to anybody today? Anybody? Now, there's a powerful story in the Old Testament about a young boy who was asking God to speak to him. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, a 12-year-old boy named Samuel was serving in the temple under a priest named Eli. And one night, Samuel and Eli, they'd already gone to bed late at night, and God appears to Samuel and speaks to him, says, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel, the Bible says that the word of the Lord was rare in those days. And so Samuel, he did not recognize that as the Lord speaking to him. So he jumped up. He thinks it's Eli. He runs into Eli's bedroom and he says, Eli, here I am. What do you want? And Eli said, I didn't call you, son. Go back to bed. So he goes back to bed. And a little bit later, God calls him again. Samuel, Samuel. And he jumps up, thinks it's Eli again, runs in there and, says, Eli, here I am. What do you want? And Eli again says, son, I did not call you. Go back to bed and go to sleep. Well, a third time, God speaks to Samuel. Samuel, Samuel calls his name. Again, Samuel jumps up. He runs into Eli's bedroom and says, here I am. And this time, Eli realizes that it is God speaking to Samuel. And he says, son, this is what I want you to do. Go back, lay down. If you hear the voice again, say this, Lord, speak, for your servant is listening. I like verse 7 in this passage where it says, now Samuel did not know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not been revealed to him. You know, Samuel was involved in the ritual of the temple, but he didn't have a relationship with God. He was involved in going to church and doing things in church, but he didn't have that personal relationship with God. So he didn't recognize God. Hear God, you need a relationship with Him.
Yeah.
You need to get close to God. You need to get to know Him. And so this time, he says, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And God speaks to him and gives him a message. Now, it's not a message that he necessarily wants to hear. He's a 12-year-old boy, and God gives him a fairly strong message. It's not really to him. It's actually about Eli and Eli's sons. He says, I'm going to judge Eli's sons because they're wicked and they're immoral and they're just running wild. And I'm going to judge Eli, their father, because he didn't control them.
Yeah.
He didn't restrain them. And so they're all going to be judged. And really, they all died on the same day, sometime down the road. But that really was the starting point of Samuel, a lifetime, really, of Samuel hearing God's voice and God directing him and God using him in a powerful way. He was so dependent on hearing the voice of God. And you and I, whether we know it or not, we are dependent on hearing God's voice. There's just so much in life that we're going to face that we are not going to be able to handle, we're not going to be able to deal with unless we hear the voice of God and we get the direction of God. Samuel prayed this very important prayer, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Can we just pray that together today? Let's say it together. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Let's say it again. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. I don't know what you're facing right now. I don't know what kind of decision you might be making, what your circumstances are, where you need to hear God. But God wants to speak to you. He's a good shepherd. You're a sheep. And that's really the starting point. We come to God and say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. I'm listening. I'm tuning in. You might wonder, well, how am I going to be able to recognize God's voice? Well, the longer you walk with Him, the more time you spend with Him, the easier it's going to be to recognize His voice. You know, when my wife calls, I don't say, who is this? If I did, I'd probably be sleeping on the couch that night and eating leftovers. Because my wife expects me to recognize her voice. I recognize her voice because I've been married to her for 31 years. I probably heard her voice nearly every day of that time, except for 3 weeks when I was in Africa and didn't have the opportunity to call. And so I recognize her voice. Another illustration, I've got a 3-year-old son, and he's learning, grandson, and he's learning how to talk. And at first, I couldn't recognize a single thing he was saying. Now, I think I understand about half of it, maybe. The other half, I don't know. But what's amazing to me is that his parents understand everything. It's like he's speaking in tongues and they get the interpretation. Because he says something and they say, okay, or whatever. And you understood that? Why is that? Because they're with him every day. They spend time with him. They spend a lot more time with him than I do. Well, when we spend time with God, spend time in His Word, spend time in prayer, spend time in worship, then we're going to more clearly be able to discern the voice of God among all the other voices and thoughts that are coming in our direction. Amen? Here's the second step that we need to do to hear God's voice. We need to listen to what He says. Isaiah 55:3 says, incline your ear and come to me. Hear and your soul will. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear and your soul will live. We have a couple dogs. If you've been to our house, you've probably met them before. Quincy, big Gordon Setter. Marley, Boston Terrier. Quincy and Marley, I call them Dumb and Dumber. But if you've ever been around dogs, you know something about them, that when you walk into the room where they are, as if you're the master, what are they going to do? They're going to incline their ears in your direction. They're going to prick up their ears. Why is that? Because they're just tuned into you. You're the master. You pet them. You feed them. You take them on walks. They love you. And so they are just tuned in to your voice. And you walk in and their ears incline. They just want to make sure they don't miss anything that's directed toward them. You know, they want to hear that wonderful, beautiful word, walk. Do you want to go for a walk? My dogs go crazy when I say that. They understand that. But they're always tuned in. In the same way, if we want to hear God among all the other voices, we've got to incline our ears to the voice of the Holy Spirit. We've got to prick up our ears. We've got to put up our spiritual antenna, so to speak. And always just be on the lookout and on the listen for what the Holy Spirit might be saying to us. In other words, we got to value the voice of God. What voices do you value? The voices that you value, you're going to tune into.
That's right.
If it's the voice of Netflix, if the voice of social media, the voice of your friend, whatever it is, you're going to tune into that. You're going to incline your ear. But if you start valuing the voice of God, if His voice becomes more valuable, more important than any other voice in your world, guess what? You will hear the voice of God. A lot of it comes down to, do I value His voice? Is His voice important enough to me to maybe fast a little bit, to spend some time, to get alone with God, to tune in, to tune out all the other voices? What's going to be the result of inclining your ears to God's voice? Is it going to make a difference? Is all this even going to make a difference in my life if I really seek to hear God's voice? What does the scripture say? Well, it says if you incline your ears, number one, you're going to hear. God promised you're going to hear. Number two, your soul is going to live. Your soul is going to live. You know, there's a lot of people in the world that are just existing and not really living. They are numb and full of pain and regret and remorse and shame many times because of the choices that they have made that's led them into desperate situations. That's not what God has for us. Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus came that we might have abundant life, not just existing, not just surviving, but thriving in every aspect of our life. But it's going to require that we hear God. We got to incline our ear, and when we do that, we're going to hear, and our soul is going to live. Hallelujah. Our soul is going to be alive. Hallelujah. I think that's going to spill out into our bodies. I think it's going to spill out into our relationship. It's going to spill out into our witness. When we learn how to walk in the Spirit, when we learn how to be led by the Spirit. Paul said in Romans 8 that the children of God are led by the Spirit. How do you recognize a child of God? How do you know if you're a child of God? You're led by the Spirit. That's the mark of a child of God. They are hearing the voice of God and they are being led by the Spirit. He's not behind us, driving us and compelling us. He's in front, calling us and leading us. And He knows exactly where we need to go.
Yes.
To have abundant life. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, I really hear the heart of the Father in this verse. Incline your ear. Hear, and your soul will live. I just hear the heart of a loving, concerned Father. He's not demanding, you know, hear me or else. That's not the tone of the Scripture there. The tone of the Scripture is the heart of the Father who knows which choices and directions are going to lead to abundant life and which choices are going to lead to death. And He's calling us to listen to Him so that our soul will live. Every parent understands this verse, this scripture, at a very emotional and deep level. You know, if you're a parent, particularly if your kids are a little bit older, maybe into the teen years, but even younger at times, we've all faced situations with our kids where we know, as we watch them make decisions, we know that certain decisions are not going to bode well for them. They're making wrong decisions. There's going to be painful consequences if they continue down that path. And our heart reaches out to them. Doesn't a parent's heart reach out to them? Many times they're not listening. You know, you talk to them, it's like their fingers are in their ear, you know. And it breaks your heart because as a parent's heart, you want to say, son, daughter, listen to my voice. I've got wisdom for you. I've got experience that you don't have. I've got a perspective because of the years that I had, maybe some of the mistakes that I've made. And if you just listen to my voice, I can direct you in the right path so that your soul will live. That's the heart of the Heavenly Father in this verse. He wants to lead us and guide us in paths of righteousness. Here's step number three. Do what he tells you to do. Oh my, don't we have trouble with that one? Jesus was speaking to a crowd on one occasion. A woman called out, "Blessed is the mother who gave you birth and nursed you." And Jesus replied, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and what? Obey it." Not enough just to hear the word. James said, don't be hearers only, but be doers of the word, right? We need to learn to respond. David Yonggi Cho he's passed away now. He's in heaven, but he was the pastor of the world's largest church in Seoul, Korea for many, many years, decades actually. At the time of his retirement, I think there was like 800,000 people, members in his church. I don't know what that would be like. I don't want to pastor a church of 800,000 people. You talk about headaches, but he had a lot of help. You know, he had hundreds and hundreds of small group leaders and hundreds of staff. But Cho, Pastor Cho, started out with absolutely nothing, if you've read his story. I mean, he had absolutely zero. He was so impoverished, so poor. He didn't have any money. He didn't have a church building. He didn't have a car. He had no support. But he had this call on his heart from God to pastor. He didn't have a desk to work at. He didn't even have a bicycle to ride around, to get around in Seoul, Korea, which is the way most people back in those, this is the mid-50s, got around. I don't think it's possible to start lower materially and financially than he did. He got a hold of this army surplus tent that was left over from the Korean War. And he set that thing up in one of the worst parts of Seoul, Korea. He set that thing up and he just began to pastor. He had nothing. Didn't have a podium, didn't have anything except his Bible. And he was able to gather just a few older women, just a handful of women that would listen to him. And he began to preach to them. The whole time he was preaching to them, he had a vision in his heart of a larger church. In fact, the Lord first gave him the number 300. And so every time he was preaching to that crowd of like three or four gals, he saw 300 people in his spirit. Well, lo and behold, he just kept at it and kept faith and kept preaching and kept faithful, and that little church grew to 300. Then God gave him another vision for 600, grew to 600, and it grew to 1,000, and grew to 10,000, and eventually grew to 100,000. It just kept multiplying until he got to about 800,000. He actually had a vision for 1 million people in his church, but you know, age caught up with him. But people often ask him the secret of his success. And he answered the same way. Anytime anybody asked him that question, what's the secret to your success? He said this, I pray and I obey. I pray and I obey. In other words, whatever the situation is, whatever the need is, I pray about everything. I don't try to figure it out myself. I pray, I seek God's priority, seek His kingdom. And whatever God tells me to do, I do it. Amen?
Amen.
You know, it's not always easy to obey God's voice, and it will require faith every time that we hear God. Most of the time it will stretch us in some way. I'm sure it wasn't easy for Abraham to obey God when God said, go offer your son on an altar. That wasn't easy to obey that voice. But yet, the very next morning, he got up early and went and did it. Because he was the father of faith. I doubt if it was easy for Moses to obey God when God said, hey, I want you to go to speak to Pharaoh, the most powerful man on the planet at that time, and say, let my people go. And the only thing in your hand is a staff. That's all you got. And God. And God.
Yeah.
And God. You got the staff, but you got God. And go and say, let my people go. That wasn't easy. But yet he obeyed. And these men and many others are listed in Hebrews chapter 11, what we call the hall of faith, because why? They heard God's voice and they obeyed against all odds, even if they didn't feel like it, even if they didn't know how it was going to turn out. They took that step of faith and they did what God told them to do. You know, God may be asking you to do some hard things.
Yeah.
Like maybe let go of a relationship that's not healthy for you. And I'm not talking to married folks. If you're married, come on, you got to work it out, folks. I'm talking to maybe single folks. You're dating somebody and God said, hey, that's that person not healthy for you. You need to let them go. It's not going to be an easy thing to do, but it's important that you do.
Or friends.
He may be asking you to get help for an addiction that you are turning to for comfort instead of Him.
Yeah.
And you've tried to white knuckle it. You tried to do it on your own. You don't want to tell anybody what's going on. And God's saying, you know what? You need to get help. You need to reach out for help. You need to get involved in some kind of Christian recovery group. Maybe He's asking you to increase your giving. Maybe start tithing. Or maybe to bless somebody in the body of Christ. And He's speaking to you about those things. And maybe, just maybe, if you haven't heard God in a while, maybe it's because you haven't done the last thing that God asked you to do and you ignored it. And God really isn't all that interested in talking anymore until you do the last thing that He told you to do.
Right.
You know, my kids were growing up in the home. If I told them to do something, they didn't do it. I wasn't interested in anything else except the last thing I said that you need to go and do. Once you do that, we can engage again about other topics. But you got to do the first thing. Amen. You know, a lot of people have a lot of Bible knowledge, but not a lot of obedience. You know, some people are educated above their level of obedience, really. Got a lot up here, but when it comes to, you know, the heart response, God, I'm willing. Yes, whatever you tell me to do, yes. That is my automatic answer to God's voice, yes. Maybe God's prompted you to give some finance to someone, you haven't done it. Maybe He's prompted you to confess a sin. And you just haven't responded yet. Maybe He's asking you to serve on one of our serving teams. And you know He's talking to you about that. But yet you just haven't got around to doing it. Maybe He's prompted you to invite someone to church. And you just haven't responded or worked up the courage to do it. Maybe He's calling you and He's speaking to you about forgiving somebody. But yet you're still holding on to that grudge. You got to do the last thing that God told you to do before you hear the next thing that God wants to speak into your life. Amen? And here's the final step. We got to turn down the volume in the world if we're going to hear God's voice.
Yeah.
As John Wimber, a guy I used to listen to quite a bit, said, you have to dial down on the inside.
Yeah.
You got to dial down on the inside. That means we may need to stop scrolling. We may need to turn off Netflix. Whatever those voices are that are crowding into your head, that are distracting you from hearing God's voice, whatever that is, we got to turn down the volume of the world so that we can hear what God is saying to us. Amen?
Amen.
God is not going to compete with the other voices. We got to tune them out if we're going to hear Him. That's why Jesus said that when we pray, that we need to go into our room and do what? Close the door. Why do we close the door? We're closing out the door to distractions. We're closing out the door to other priorities. And we're just sitting before God and say, God, You are the only thing in my life right now. Your voice is the only voice I need to hear right now. Closing the door on the nutty, noisy clutter of the world, the distraction, the daily demands. I like the Message version of that particular scripture in Matthew 6:6. He says, here's what I want you to do. Jesus is speaking. Find a quiet, secluded place. That is step number one. You got to find a quiet, secluded place. I know that's difficult. If you're a mother in the home with several children, finding a quiet, secluded place, maybe not all that easy. Here's one idea. Go into the bathroom and lock the door.
Yeah.
At least you can get a few minutes of privacy in there, right? Until the kids find you and start knocking on the door, right? I remember John Wesley's mother, Susanna Wesley, she had, I think, a dozen kids in a one-room building.
15, actually.
15? About 15 kids? That's insane. But she was a woman of faith and a woman of prayer, and she didn't have any room to go in and close the door. There was just a one-room house. And so she trained her kid. Guess what, parents? You can train your kids. When it's time for mama to pray, when it's time to daddy to pray, this is our time. Unless somebody's bleeding, leave me alone. And that's exactly what she said to her kids. When she wore this long apron, and she would, when it was prayer time, she threw it over her head. And that was her little secluded place. And she would pray and cry out to God. And she told her kids, don't bother me with that apron unless somebody's dying and they need CPR right now. I mean, you leave me alone. And she had some powerful prayer time. She raised up some powerful children. Two of them are very famous. Charles Wesley wrote hundreds and hundreds of hymns that we sing. And Charles Wesley, the founder of the Methodist movement. Very powerful men. So there's a way. When there's a will, there's a way, right? I know it's not always easy. I mean, that's one of my problems, really, is getting quiet on the inside. Always been one of my problems. I got a busy mind. And I get in my room and I close the door, but sometimes my mind wants to take off, and it's probably one of my most greatest challenges. It's just dialing down on the inside so I can hear from God. I do a lot better talking to God than listening. I can talk to God all day long, but I already know everything I know. And there's times I just need to hear what He knows. I need His perspective. I need His direction, right? So we got to get quiet if we're going to hear God. Why is that? Because God speaks in a quiet voice.
Yeah.
A lot of times it sounds like a whisper. Elijah, and I'm going to end with this. Elijah was a powerful prophet in the Old Testament. And, you know, it just one day of his life, he called down fire from heaven. Think about that. And wiped out 450 prophets of Baal, these idol worshipers. And ended a three-year drought by just simply going up on the mountain and praying, and God responded and rain came. Just powerful, powerful things happened in his life. But on that particular day, there was a wicked queen that was reigning over Israel named Jezebel, good old Jezzy, right? And she was infuriated at the fact that Elijah had wiped out her idol-worshipping prophets. And she said, she actually put a hit out on Elijah. She said, within 24 hours, you're just going to be like one of them. You're going to be dead. I'm coming after you. Well, Elijah, I think just because in his, even though he's a man of faith, maybe in his weariness or whatever, it scared him. He ran out into the desert. And for days he walked and finally ended up in a cave. And, you know, the man was spent. He was tired. He was empty. He was drained. He was discouraged. He just poured it all out against evil. He thought he was the only one in all of Israel, really, that was standing up against the prophets of Baal and idol worship. However, God had reserved 7,000 that he didn't even know about. But God met him at that cave, at the lowest point of his discouragement. He even wanted to die. Lord, just take my life. Suicidal thoughts in a way, really. He was so discouraged. And God met him at that cave and really put on quite a show, actually. Scripture says there was a great and a powerful wind that tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. Goes on to say, after the wind there was an earthquake, and the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. You're from the 70s. You might remember a group that I used to listen to, Earth, Wind, and Fire. I wonder if they got that from here. So there was a great wind. There was an earthquake. There was a fire. But God was not in any of these. And then the scripture says, after the fire came what? A gentle whisper. A gentle whisper. God spoke to Elijah in a gentle whisper. God wasn't in the demonstrative. God wasn't in the extraordinary, the spectacular. God can speak that way if He wants to. But He came in that gentle whisper. And I think so many times that's how He comes to us. He comes to us in the gentle whisper. But we're going to hear Him. We've got to turn down the volume of the world around us so that we can hear Him. Psalms 46:10, be still and know that I am God. Why does God whisper? Somebody just asked Bobby this week in a counseling session. She was talking about this, and he said, well, why doesn't God shout so I can hear him? Well, one pastor suggested this. Why does God whisper? Maybe because then we'll get real close to him. We'll just draw close to him. And God is a relational God. He wants a relationship with us. He doesn't want to just be the answer man in the sky. That only time we relate to God is when we need something from him.
Right.
No, he wants a relationship. He sent his son, Jesus, to die a cruel and horrible death. Why? So we could have a relationship with him. So we could be restored to relationship. And when he whispers, maybe, we have to get close enough to hear. When somebody whispers, you got to get real close. You got to lean in. You got to focus on what they're saying. And that's what God wants. He wants a relationship with us. You need to hear from God today. Ask him to speak to you. Listen to his voice. Be willing to do what he says. And then turn down the volume of the world. Let's just say that prayer one more time. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Let's say it together. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. One more time. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. I want to pray for you today. I don't know where you're at. I know where some of you are at, but I don't know everybody. But everybody needs to hear from God. You're in a situation dealing with circumstances, marriage, kids, finances, job, health. Things going on, you just need to hear from God. And so many times we run to everybody else but God.
Yeah.
I just want to pray for you. God, I just pray for those who need a word of encouragement today, that they will hear your voice. Those that need a word of hope, those that need a word of comfort, those that need a word of direction or wisdom. Lord, would you speak? We say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Forgive us for not listening. Forgive us for the noise. Forgive us for allowing our minds to be so cluttered with so many other things that we cannot discern your voice. Thank you today that you are the good shepherd, that we are your sheep, and that we have the promise that you will speak to us. You will call us by name. You will lead us out. Your sheep will know your voice. Hallelujah. You know, I mentioned to really hear the voice of the shepherd, you got to have a relationship with him. And there may be some here today that you really don't have that relationship with Jesus Christ. You're not going to be able to hear his voice without it. That's the starting point. If you're here today, I want to lead you in a simple prayer, just inviting Christ into your life. If you want to start a relationship with him, you want him and need him to guide your life, you've realized that your best efforts have not gotten you where you need to go. I think there's a saying in Alcoholics Anonymous that your best thinking has got you where you are. Your best thinking has got you where you are. And if you don't like where you are, you need to hear and tune into another voice. Anybody here today that you just raise your hand and say, Pastor, you're talking to me. Maybe you're a churchgoer, but you just don't know, really have that relationship with Christ. And you need to start that. I want to pray for you. Just raise your hand if that's you. And I'll pray for you. Anybody here? I see that hand. Thank you. Hallelujah. Even if there's just one, all heaven's going to rejoice. I guarantee you that. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You know, sir, I usually don't do this, but I don't like putting people on the spot. But would you, that raise your hand, would you come? I want to pray for you. I'm going to put you on the spot, I guess. I want to lead you in a prayer, but I also want to pray for you. And I want us as a church family to pray for you. Because guess what? Look around. This is all your church family right here. This is your church family. Whether you know it or not, they love you, they care about you, they want the best for you, they want to help you get where you need to go. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, just say these words out loud. Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
I come to you as a sinner.
I come to you as a sinner.
I've made mistakes.
I've made mistakes.
Probably messed up my life in some ways. Jesus, come into my heart.
Jesus, come into my heart.
Forgive me of all my sins.
Forgive me all my sins.
Cleanse me of all unrighteousness.
Cleanse me of all unrighteousness.
Be the center of my life.
Be the center of my life.
Teach me to hear your voice.
Teach me to hear your voice.
Lead me in paths of righteousness.
Lead me in paths of righteousness.
For your name's sake.
For your name's sake.
I trust you.
I'm going to follow you.
I'm going to follow where you lead.
Because I trust you.
You're the good shepherd.
In Jesus' name.
Lord, I just bless him today. Just pour out your Holy Spirit. I pray you'd set him free from anything of the past that would bind him. I loose him now in Jesus' name. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. Let the kingdom of God come in his life. In every dimension, spirit, soul, and body, fill him with your Holy Spirit. Lord, give him a power, give him a boldness, and a strength above his own strength. Lord, we don't have the strength to make the right decisions all the time, but you can give us that strength. Fill him with that, Lord. Lead him and guide him in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Lord bless you. Hallelujah. Let's stand this morning. Go ahead and stand this morning. Hallelujah. It's been good to be in God's house. If we have an altar ministry team, some folks that are going to be prepared to pray for you if you need prayer for anything, would you guys just come down here in the front? And if you need prayer as we dismiss, come down. Let them pray for you. God will do powerful things. Otherwise, Lord bless you. Have a great Sunday afternoon.